Welcome to the It's Not About the Scale, How to Love Yourself Skinny Summit. I'm Molly Rathstone, along with my husband, Tony. We're your hosts. Today, Tony has the pleasure of interviewing Megan Pennington.
Hey, Megan, how are you doing?
Hi, great. How are you?
Good. So things up in the Great White North are awesome?
Yeah, we're having a pretty mild winter so far. I'm pretty happy.
Good news. Okay, so when we were researching different experts to pull up on our summit, one of the things that really stood out about you is a passion in my own heart, which is stress reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to stress, you had some really cool insights to your own personal life as to how it affected you and what it is. Is that,
mm-hmm.
am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so start telling me a little bit about what, like, in layman's terms, as simple as possible, what is stress? How does it affect us in the real world? How does it affect you? How did it affect you, and what did you do about it?
Okay, well, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
All right. So stress is basically anything that causes the body to go into the stress response. So probably most people have heard of fight or flight. So it's when you either encounter, you know, a lion or an emotional stress or traffic or a baby crying or, you know, it can be almost anything that causes the body to go into an alarm state. And that basically creates a mode in the body where it feels like it needs to hold on to nutrients, it needs to freeze, it needs to assess, it goes through this whole process. And when that happens, how this affects our body and how it affects weight gain specifically is that it really cortisol is the main stress hormone, and when that's released, it causes a series of reactions, one of which is appetite stimulus. So we get hungry, not right away. It usually takes a little while, but then cortisol stays in the system for hours after that initial stressor, and so we're hungry and looking for nutrients to recover from that stressed out state. So we're hungry for hours.
Yeah, I could have a stressful event then, the way I'm understanding what you're saying is, in the morning, my boss pissed me off, or I, you know, like you said, the traffic, like you described, and I'm not going to necessarily have my hunger response for that episode that happened a long time ago now, till lunchtime or so?
You actually will have a hunger response, so it'll actually increase your appetite.
All of a sudden, I'm going to notice that I'm more hungry later in the day. But I won't necessarily consciously attribute it to the stressful event in the morning. I'll just be hungrier.
Exactly.
Oh.
And to add insult to injury, you're going to be hungry specifically for high-carb, high-fat, sugary foods because that's what the body is looking for. It's looking for a really quick energy supplement to replenish whatever stores it may have utilized in the stress state. So, you know, in the old times, people would have been running from a lion or they would have been foraging for food. So this would have been a good thing because that stress state would have depleted their stores and then their body would have replenished those stores. But in these days, we aren't depleting any energy. We're just sitting at our desk like freaking out. So we're
right,
not
exactly.
really depleting.
We're just sitting there.
Exactly. We're not really depleting any energy. We aren't going to look for food. We aren't walking a lot. So we really aren't burning a lot. And so that hours later of the recovery phase, it's called, is really we're just hungry and we're craving sugary, high-fat foods. And that's really not, you know, the best state to be in all day, every day.
All day, every day, which is really what's happening.
Yeah.
So if I'm craving these sugary, like, items, let's say, keeping on that same example, you described traffic on the way to work, guy cut us off, we got annoyed, we argued about the typical things couples argue about in a car, and we get to work, and somewhere around the normal time of eating, which would be, you know, lunchtime, let's say, I'm going to be more hungry than I would have been, and I'm going to be more hungry for a sugary style hit than I would have been otherwise.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. So now if I go take some class that says how to cure cravings, that's kind of like a BS move. That's kind of like a crap thing because you're not actually dealing with the cause of the event.
That's true. And if they don't include stress reduction in that class, then there's a problem.
Then yeah. Then I'm trying to pour a glass of 8-ounce water on a big old fire. It's just not going to matter.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Talk about being in a catch-22 and screwed the rest of the day.
Yes. And so people who – so let's say you – so you get this. You understand that you need to reduce stress. It's the underlying cause for much of what's going on with food cravings and kind of that feeling of, like, never being satisfied, never being full. I know a lot of people feel that, and stress is a major contributor to that. And then the other thing that the cortisol does, the stress hormone does in the body, is it actually increases not only the appetite but then increases the storage of nutrients as well. So during that recovery phase, not only does our body want to replenish by consuming more readily available energy, but our body is also being triggered to store it more readily. So you're actually going to store more fat more readily than if you just, you know, ate a regular meal under a normal relaxed state. And so that really inhibits weight loss for sure. And also it makes it difficult to just maintain, you know, your current body weight as well.
It would be difficult to just keep status quo.
Yeah. So you have two actions working against you at the same time, just from a little stressor that happened, you know, one time in the day. More often it's, you know, a few times during the day for most people. So it's really impactful.
Wow. So then if I'm driving down the road and I'm caught behind the eight ball for whatever reason, so I stop and grab something at the grocery store. Well, that nobody does that. They stop at the fast food place and get something.
Yeah.
Then I'm driving down the road, not only getting stressed from the traffic and screwing my system over, but I'm telling my system to store this for use at a later date at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Talk
yeah.
about insightful for someone to have this kind of epiphany that they're literally making themselves, I mean, for lack of a better way of saying it, fatter
mm-hmm.
by eating in the car, driving in traffic.
And one more thing to add to that, our body will prefer our body will actually preferentially deposit that extra storage of nutrients in the abdominal area. So people who are struggling with this kind of belly fat around the, you know, in the belly around the abdominal area, our body is being triggered to do that because that's the area that doesn't have to move a lot. Like, we need our arms to fight things, we need our legs to run, but we don't really need our belly for, you know, any of that. So that's where extra fat is deposited just naturally as a survival mechanism.
Wow. So and for our camp, the number one thing people say when it comes to changing their body is belly fat.
Mm.
When we break it down, you know, what you want to change, your arms, your legs, your bun, your stomach, what is it going to be? And the typical response, the more than average response, is belly fat.
Yeah.
That's the primary thing that they want to change in their system. But our clients, for us, they're all, for the most part, just, you know, stress monkeys, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got kids, they've got a full-time job, they've got to get home, get to the soccer games, to the basketball games, do all this great stuff, come home, they got to make dinner. They may not get home till 8-9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just stressed out. They're eating on the go the whole time. They're teaching their kids to eat on the go the whole time. And from what you're describing is they've just put themselves in on an open flame and said, turn me over and keep me here.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
So how do you deal with this? Like, give us a little bit more background about yourself, because stress was a huge player in your life.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about you, about your life story.
Right. So how I even encountered this whole thing, because I have a degree in nutrition, but nowhere in that dietetics degree did I learn anything about stress. And I actually, you know, gained a whole bunch of weight while I was learning about how to eat healthy. So that's where I kind of came across this, was from my own experience. And so basically I was always a slim person. And then I lived in Vancouver and I moved across the country to go to McGill because it was the best school for what I wanted to take, which was human human nutrition and dietetics. And so I really wanted to learn, you know, the truth about nutrition, because I had been studying it myself since I was 13 years old. And I noticed that there was so much conflicting information and nothing made sense. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to learn from the best of the best, and I'm going to figure this out. So I did that. And, you know, in my first year, I gained 30 pounds. And that was a lot on this small, like, I'm this petite person. I'm like 5'3". So it was a lot. And I got, you know, I got super depressed about that. And it really messed with my head, because here I was learning how to help people in my future career to lose weight and to be healthy. And like, look at me, if I was failing at it, like, how could I help anybody? So,
exactly.
On top of that, it was, there was a lot of, it affected my moods. It affected my, like, my eating habits, of course, were affected, because I started to become kind of obsessed with food. So I was learning all about how to eat healthily, how to count calories, how to count fat grams, and learning about how all the nutrients needed to be in certain levels. And it was very number focused, my training or dietetics
right.
training. And so it made me really obsessed with, like, numbers and food and grams and weight and, you know, like, food weight. And so I actually developed an eating disorder, because I became so obsessed thinking about food all the time. So that obviously didn't help and contributed to the weight gain, because, you know, once you focus on something, it's like you can't stop thinking about it, right?
That's why we tell all our campers not to look at their butt in the mirror, because it will get bigger.
That's it. So that didn't help at all. And then, so of course, I started eating, you know, crappy food. So this stressed me out, the weight gain, and I realized in the beginning that was the original reason that I gained weight in the first place, was because I moved across the country. I was away from my support, like, network. I was away from my parents. I was away from all my friends, and, you know, university was stressful.
Sure, everything
exams.
Was new.
Everything was new. Everything was stressful, and so that actually, you know, it started the weight gain process, and then it just got worse from there. I noticed my moods were changing. I was irritable all the time. I was so tired. I had no energy. I started sleeping badly. You know, my skin started breaking out, and it just caused a whole plethora of symptoms. Once it starts to go downhill, it just all goes downhill. And by the end of my degree, so 4 years later, I was a mess. And I decided to, at that point, to throw everything out the window, because nothing I learned was helping me. I had developed an eating disorder. I was obsessed with food. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't happy. I wasn't anything that was positive. And so I felt like I couldn't help anyone in that state. So I threw it all away. I threw it all out the window, and I went on a backpacking trip for 4 months. And I ate whatever I wanted, and I walked around a lot, and I enjoyed my time, you know, not being in school. And those 30 pounds basically came off without me doing anything but being happy and just being and letting live and walking. Yeah. So that's when I realized, okay, so there was something missing from my training, first of all, a big component, and that was the whole holistic side of health. You know, you can't just focus on one thing, that being nutrition, for instance, and have that, you know, be the ultimate cure. That's it. You need to incorporate all these other things, like stress, like happiness, like exercise and everything into the mix. So that was a huge light bulb for me. And I went back to school and learned at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, as well as the National Institute of Whole Health. And I basically rounded out my education. So I learned all of the other things that were not taught, and have combined them now into a whole system of healing, which is so much more effective and does not involve developing eating disorders and whatnot.
Sure. Yeah. What a great story.
Thank you.
So you walked around for 4 months. Mm-hmm. It's not important where, but of course I want to know where you went.
Well, I went to Australia, New Zealand, Southeast Asia, and Singapore and Malaysia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went to all these places. Now, being, you know, Molly and I travel pretty much a lot. So we know that going to these places, it's not like a picnic. It was stressful because you're in a new place every time. There's different everywhere you go. It's always new. So it's not like stress isn't there at all, but that happiness factor really changed and your relaxation towards it really changed and how you dealt with the perspective of what you were doing changed. Is that right?
Yes, and the focus, I think one of the main things was the diverting my focus from food onto anything else.
Created just this, what essentially is a large change. I mean, 30 pounds, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Wow. Okay, so you go back, you round out your studies, and you get out of school. You've got your own practice, or not practice now, coaching practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got all this information. Can you, you know, for the listeners, they're out there, they're listening, you know, I can feel that they're, okay, what, I get it, it's stress, I get it, I can see it in my own life. Megan's here, she's personally experienced it, just like you described.
Mm-hmm.
What, if we can boil this all down into, let's say, your most useful tool, something that they could take away with, what would be considered your most useful tool on the spot right here?
Okay, well, I have a few. So, so in terms of,
that's what they want to hear. Tell me what to do, Megan. Tell me what to do.
Well, first and foremost, in terms of stress, breathing is a really great way of that you can do anywhere for free. You don't have to have an app. You don't have to, you know, go into a quiet room. You can really do it in the car, anywhere. You can actually trick your body that is in a stress response into a relaxation response. So how that works is the sympathetic nervous system is basically what causes the stress response. It causes your increase in heart rate, increase in breathing, all that that causes the stress response. The parasympathetic nervous system is the calming nervous system, and that includes digestion and everything that happens when we're in a relaxed state, and it slows breathing. So you can actually do the reverse, and you can like mindfully slow your breathing, which will do a feedback loop and tell the body, I'm in a relaxed state now, and it will elicit the parasympathetic nervous system. So you can actually trick your body.
You can do it the reverse mechanism.
So you can, that's a really effective way of just, you know, reverting from a stress response to a relaxation response pretty much instantly. And if you get into the habit of that and actually remember to do it, it's super effective. And it also helps, you know, digest your food and everything, because that it increases digestion. So it just helps overall with many things. And it's
that's
super
awesome.
Fast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the ancient times. I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, but I believe it's pronounced the Essenes. It's a sect of people that lived a long time ago. They had these seven laws, and one of them was called the law of correspondence, or as above, so below, as above.
Right.
So what you just described was, if I take manual control over what's going on, conscious control, and say, I'm going to slow my breathing down here, then I create that feedback loop that forces me to slow down at the same time, internally.
Yes.
Is that?
Exactly. Okay, and it tells the brain that you're in a relaxed state, which decreases cortisol, it decreases that stress response, and that's what you want.
Is there a specific pattern of breathing that does this, or, you know, is it into, out to, out for, whatever, or is it just consciously becoming aware?
Yeah, you can make it complicated. There are definitely ways of doing that, and there's lots of opinions around that.
We want it simple, Megan. We want it simple.
Exactly. You can just really just take a deep breath in and let it out slowly, and then do it again, and do it as long as you feel necessary to feel that, like, that calm. You'll feel it. If you're still, like, really worked up and frantic, well, you haven't done it long enough. So keep doing it. Yeah.
Self-evident, right.
Yeah.
So I just start breathing deeply until I feel that shift of calmness overtake me, calm me down.
Yeah. And if you can't achieve that, then you probably need to change your environment. So if it's impossible, if you have someone screaming in your face, for example, and you just can't reach that, you might have to leave the room. You know, like it'll come down to a choice at that point, whether you want to be in a stress state and stay there, or if you want to exit. But if you can't do it with the breathing, that tells you that, you know, you have to make a decision.
The environment's not conducive to what we do. We have to exercise our free will at that point and remove ourselves for a moment until we do gain our composure back.
Yes. And if you choose not to,
our own connection.
Yeah, and if you can choose not to. If you're in a fight and you don't want to leave, that's totally understandable. Or if you can't,
that's just
to know that you are in a stress state and that will impact you later. And if that happens, because it will, to know also when you start craving those foods, you'll know why, and you don't have to go for those foods. You can make a conscious choice at that point to choose something healthier or to drink a glass of water because maybe you're not even really hungry.
Maybe you're not even hungry at all, and you're just, just the water
just
alone will solve everything. Right.
Yeah.
A simple fix at the same time. Okay, so that's one tool. What else you got?
So the other tool that I find super helpful with clients is a food sensitivity test, actually, because so many people have gut issues nowadays. They have bloating, heartburn, they get headaches, mood swings, a lot of these, like chronic fatigue, a lot of these same symptoms that you find when you're eating poorly and on a poor diet. And what underlines it all is inflammation. So inflammation is rampant in our society and is actually the cornerstone of pretty much every modern disease, according to science. They're finding inflammation is involved with diabetes, heart disease, and then all the lesser kind of chronic symptoms.
The latest things we've been reading is that inflammation, ultimately, you don't die of the cancer or the gunshot or all that. You die from the inflammation that's created as a result of it.
That's it. And so so weight balances have a huge correlation with inflammation as well, and all these and all the kind of the water retention and the bloating that's kind of related to the weight gain is that it seems to go hand in hand. You know, you start getting digestive issues, you start eating poorly, you start gaining weight, and then everything kind of goes off, and it seems to be that if you target the underlying cause, which is the inflammation happening in the gut, then everything kind of just becomes easier. The bloating goes down, the inflammation goes down. You're really saving yourself in the future. But not only that, your hormones start to stabilize. So that includes the stress hormone. That includes like leptin and those hormones that affect our appetite and our metabolism, and we start to lose weight more easily and without having to do anything specific, like follow a specific diet or something like that. So it's really very powerful because it removes the underlying cause.
It's more of a byproduct. It's weight loss.
That's it. Yes.
It just kind of like, and all this time we haven't talked about the scale or getting on it, off it, or anything like that, because it really doesn't have anything to do with it. It has to do with taking a step back, going more towards the cause of things. So when it comes to like inflammation, what can we do about it?
Yes. So the most effective tool that I've used so far is a food sensitivity test. Because what happens is stress. We will encounter stress, and stress ends up causing a permeable gut. So that means that the gut lining, the cells in the gut lining have become farther apart. They become more permeable. They're letting things through that aren't supposed to get through. So we'll eat some food. It won't get properly digested or for whatever reason. And then undigested particles are going through into the immune system, and the immune system freaks out and goes, oh my God, there's undigested food here.
Yeah.
We don't recognize this attack, you know? And so it elicits an immune response. And anyone who's gotten cut ever knows that inflammation happens when you cut yourself, because that's the immune response.
Yep.
And it's super useful for survival when we have a cut, but we don't want that happening in our body every time we eat, you know? So
right.
Then what happens is the stress causes the permeable gut, also known as leaky gut. Foods get through, and then we start reacting to the foods we eat. And then every time we eat those foods, we're causing chronic inflammation. And that is leading to hormone imbalances and causing weight gain and causing mood swings and causing headaches and causing digestive complaints and causing all sorts of things. And those, in turn, also increase inflammation, which then, you know, just it perpetuates. It makes it worse. We eat more food. We become more permeable. We gain more food sensitivities, and it gets to a point where we're reacting a lot, and it becomes impossible to just remove, you know, gluten and dairy and have that cure everything. To that point, you're probably reacting to like 20 different things in your diet, you know. So I found that a food sensitivity test is really a great way of just removing that. It takes 10 days. That's it. 10 days after you get the results, you remove all those reactive foods, and everything just stabilizes so quickly. And then your gut heals, and you're able to, you know, everything just goes away.
Process,
and it's so powerful.
So what is, like, just give me the version of what a food sensitivity test is. Like,
okay.
What am I doing?
Right. So it's a blood test, and it will basically measure the reactivity of your immune cells to 150 different foods and chemicals, so natural chemicals and artificial chemicals that you might find in foods. It's the most comprehensive test out there, the one that I use. It's called MRT. It's a mediator release test. And people usually have heard of IgG testing. That is similar, but it only tests one type of food sensitivity, and those are the ones involving IgG antibodies. Whereas, so that only accounts for, let's say, 25%, studies show, of the actual food sensitivities that you may have. The other 75% are non-IgG mediated, meaning that they occur without antibodies at all. You know, it's just the immune system, the T cells reacting directly to a food particle, you know, one-on-one. There is no antibodies involved. So all of those would be missing in the IgG testing, but the MRT picks it up. So it's super, it's super thorough. It has a 96% accuracy according to scientific studies. So it has been, you know, scientifically studied, which is another good point. Some of the other sensitivity tests have not been scientifically validated. So that's why it's the one that I use. And basically it's a blood test. You get the results, and then there's a simple protocol that you do with those results. You remove your reactive foods and focus on the least reactive foods for the first 10 days, really gives your body a chance to heal, and then you slowly reintroduce all the other foods to see if you've regained tolerance to them, because often you will. Once your gut has healed and you aren't letting through foods anymore that you are reacting to, then you don't react to them anymore. So you don't have to remove them forever. It's a matter of removing them, you know, temporarily and allowing your system to heal and restabilize, and then you can usually reintroduce most of them later. So it's really, really awesome.
Cool. Very cool. So if someone listening right now wants to do this, or someone that's going to hear this, you know, for a long time to come, how do they get this test? Do they contact you? How does this work?
Yep, you have to go through a practitioner, so they can contact me, or there are other practitioners as well that offer the test. I would Google MRT and then the city that you live in. And if no one comes up, or if you don't mind working with someone via phone or distance, then they can call me specifically.
Okay, and is it an expensive thing to do, or anybody can do it?
Anyone can do it. Well, in North America and Canada, that's where the test is. It's a blood test, so they can't ship across the world because it has to be analyzed within 24 hours. So it's an overnight shipping. So it is limited to
overnight.
U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, U.S.
Right.
And Canada.
Okay.
But anyone can do it, and it is it's covered by most insurance companies. It is a few hundred dollars, so it's not the cheapest test, but it's also it's an investment. It's a definite investment into your health.
Well, everything's right. Everything's an investment in your health. And if your insurance company's going to help you out a little bit on it, then that's even better.
Yes.
And, you know, who needs to look up Google when you're on the phone right now and you've got your – so, like, if these people want to get a hold of you, how do people get a hold of you? What's your website? Give us that whole shebang.
Yeah, so the easiest way to kind of find out more about me and what I offer is my website. It's www.mp, like my name, Megan Pennington, mpholisticnutrition.com.
Cool, that's easy enough.
It's very easy, and my contact information is on there, and there's more information about the food sensitivity testing, and, you know, there's a free report there. I don't know if you'll be posting the link somewhere that I sent to you, but there's a free report.
Yep, we'll have the link over them. We're going to be emailing it out to everybody as well.
Great.
What's the free report?
That's the free report on stress reduction. So it'll basically describe how stress really impacts the body and what to do about it. So it's very thorough. It's much more thorough than what I went into on this short call.
Sure. But it gives people an opportunity on the phone call right now to really touch bases and say, wow, you know, this gal's got it going on. If I download this the free book right now, I can get some more information about this, and then I can give you a buzz and say, look, let's do this blood test thing, this food sensitivity test, and, you know, help me walk through this roughly 10-day process to really revolutionize how I look at food and change my life on how I process it and how I live on a daily basis. That's pretty much it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you impact people right away. This isn't a, you know, wait 6 weeks and discover if this is going to work or not. They're going to feel it right now.
Absolutely, yep.
That's perfect. That's what people like. They like simple. They like fast. At least that's what we've discovered.
Yes, me too. And that's why I love offering this test, because people are very happy with it and it gives very good results. And that makes me happy.
Woohoo! Well, Megan, thank you so much for coming on the line with us today. Really appreciate all the great feedback.
Thank you.
Information that they just got. That's awesome. All right, so we'll see you a little farther down the creek.
Yes, absolutely.